This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quarterback who did that anyways, but
classic move.
Yep. But the bottom line here is that Tomlin is living in two worlds. One is smitten by the resume of Aaron Rodgers and having lost a Super Bowl to Aaron Rodgers and having respect for him as an all-time great quarterback, but also being someone who is obsessed with quarterback mobility. And he's not going to get that from Rodgers. But since he's in the market for quarterbacks, and there is an extremely mobile one available, he's going to at least look into the guy. And especially because the consensus seems to be that this is not a Jackson Dart situation. It's conceivable that when the Steelers are on the clock, say in the third round, that Jalen Milroe would still be there. And I think Tomlin is trying to figure out if he deems Milroe worthy of being one of these guys. Okay, taking a swing is going after a guy in the first round. But sometimes you just need to move the runner over or hope that you get a seeing eye single. And that's really the equivalent of taking a quarterback in the third round. It's not a big swing. You're still in the batter's box. You're still taking a cut. But you're not really putting all your plums on the table.
Your goal is that you reach base.
Yeah, and I think that's... And you know what else I think might be in play here? This is just me completely, you know... This is extemporaneous thought.
Isn't that what we do?
And by the way, Donnie's got extemporaneous thought coming up the next time
he hosts. That's right before impromptu hour.
Well, he knows impromptu. Donnie knows the definition of impromptu. It's the extemporaneous thought.
That's going to be Saturday morning right in the middle of Bucko talk.
We could go through every forensics category. We could have declamation minute here.
Anyways, wasn't your mom a forensics teacher?
Still is.
Congratulations on all her
declamation.
Success.
That was my thing.
Anyways, does she like CSI?
CSI?
Isn't that a forensics show?
Different forensics, man.
Cold case?
No, forensics is public speaking that my mom teaches.
Well, don't you
CSI
think
that, is the show
don't you
about,
think that
like,
that's misleading that there's forensics
forensic
with
files?
Don't you think that that's misleading?
I mean, there's
that
forensic
there's those
accounting,
forensics?
Pony.
Well, maybe we need to invent more words so people don't get confused by all the forensics out there.
Who just do you saying. Think has like the lays claim to the most like official title of it? Like
forensic files?
Oh, because you say so.
But anyways, I do think this is just me rifting here.
Rifting? Riffing.
Riffing. Now I'm turning into Crowley. Am I? Am I doing it on purpose or not? It's up to you to figure out.
I can never tell.
Jalen Hurts just won a Super Bowl and Tomlin liked him and didn't pull the trigger. Really liked him to the point where Hurts went on the Kelsey podcast and said,
I thought I was getting drafted by
the Steelers when I saw that Pennsylvania
area
number
code.
Pop up.
I don't know, man. It might be Tomlin's thought process, but it's such a,
well, wait a minute.
A flawed comp.
There's a difference between you and me and others thinking it would be a wasted pick because Jalen Milroe wasn't good at Alabama last year. He's a raw piece of clay. and the Steelers aren't going to be able to cultivate. There might be talent there. There might not be. There's probably a better chance there isn't. But the off chance that there is, you don't trust the Steelers to find it. There's a difference between that and Mike Tomlin and the Steelers possibly drafting him and trying to uncover or unfurl, like, whether or not that's going to happen. Like, I do think that it's in play now that they're scouting him to this degree. And I would even go as far as to say, I think there's a better chance they take Milroe in the third round than Jackson Dart in the first.
Well, I think there is a better chance of that, too.
All the clues, have you noticed this with Dart? None of it seems to be Steelers related.
It's all, I told you yesterday, all agent driven. His agent is working overtime to gas him up.
Until I hear someone who I trust tell me, no, you're wrong. The Steelers really, really like this guy.
Dulac trashed the notion again today in his chat. He just basically poo-pooed it.
And he we know who he might be getting it from or adjacent to who he might
be
getting it from.
We know he's very close with Art Rooney.
Not that I think Rooney would like want to spill the beans or give him tea on that, but we've talked to people who watched Tomlin basically take over Senior Bowl practices, and Jackson Dart might as well have been one of the Senior Bowl cheerleaders that they invited from Mobile High School to work the event, or a popcorn vendor.
Might as well have been Chris Oladokun.
Had no interest in the guy. Spent no time on him.
I mean, my problem with,
acted like he didn't exist there.
My problem with Dart is sort of the same problem I have with Milroe. Milroe, they're both raw in different ways. Dart comes from an offense where the coach just schemes up these one-read situations. And then Milroe, obviously, is, even by his, I think, supporter scene, as an unpolished stone here who's got to have a lot of like seasoning to become a more ready-made NFL quarterback. And he's a project. They're both, in some ways, projects. And I just do not trust the Steelers to do well with a project at that position. Like, why would I look at Mike Tomlin's quarterback record after Ben and what he's done since? And why would I look at that guy and say, yeah, he's the shepherd. He's going to bring Jalen Milroe along. He's going to take all of Jalen Milroe's physical attributes and put him in a situation with a coordinator who gets the most out of him. And as his head coach who makes the big in-game decisions, trust him and empower him to do big things. You want to know why Jalen Hurts won a Super Bowl? He was surrounded by the best roster in the league with an offensive coordinator who knew exactly how to cater to his strengths and weakness and minimize his weaknesses.
I do think that Milroe is a cautionary tale on people that say wait until 2026 to draft a quarterback. Because I think after the 2023 season, if he had come out then, he would have been picked, especially if he ran that 40 time like he did today.
He did not take a step forward.
He took a huge one back.
Right. Which isn't that... Shouldn't that be a red flag in and of itself?
Well, it is to some degree. It's not totally for me, though, because the coaching there changed so much. And I know that the other coach, DeBoer, was at Washington with Penix and the wide receivers they had there.
Okay, I'll go and they went to a national championship. I don't care that the coaching changed. I want a guy in college if he's at Alabama. I don't care what kind of upheaval. Like, show me that a year later into your career, a year older, you're going to be like a calm, steadying force.
Right.
Don't get caught up in the wave.
Yeah, he did. There's no doubt. And he had that fumble at the goal line in the championship game or the playoff against Michigan. The game before that against Georgia, they won, but it was not like he was more of a caretaker than he was a playmaker.
These guys that entice Tomlin and infatuate, you know, any coach or keep him up at night as a defensive mind because they're so mobile, they're so fast. That's only really useful, and you can see it with Fields' very spotty career so far, if you show some polish as a passer.
The Vikings had pulled out of the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. Mike Florio just joined us and said, yeah, for now, they're going to wait and see how J.J. McCarthy looks in the offseason program. And it's possible, if Aaron Rodgers waits it out, that if McCarthy doesn't give the Vikings the signal that they can win with him this year, they could revisit the Aaron Rodgers situation, which would drag this thing out until practically Memorial Day, if not longer, if it goes down that way.
Why?
She's so connected. She's so good from the NFL on CBS. Sideline reporter, based in Pittsburgh. Longtime AFC North reporter, Aditi Kinkabwala joins us. Aditi, what kind of light would you like to shed on this situation?
So the Vikings, absolutely, I can tell you, had serious discussion about bringing in Aaron Rodgers. There were people that felt very strongly about doing so, and there were people who felt very strongly about not doing so. They obviously were sort of a late entrant into the conversation, and that was prompted by Aaron Rodgers' interest. And they do really, really believe in J.J. McCarthy. That is why Daniel Jones signed with the Colts as opposed to signing with the Vikings. Daniel Jones believed that he had a better opportunity to start in Indianapolis, to win the starting job in Indianapolis, than to beat out J.J. McCarthy. So there's that piece of it. They believe in J.J. McCarthy. They believe in the team that they have around J.J. McCarthy. Part of this, and I think that I've said this before, part of the appeal for an Aaron Rodgers with the Vikings is that this is a ready-made team. This is a team that has an absolutely outstanding defense that just got better, up front on both lines, that has superstars on offense, is a veteran-laden team, and that runs a very, very professional outfit. That's the sort of outfit that Aaron Rodgers would like to step into right now. Where he is in his career, who he is, from the conversations that we had with him last year, even in talking about Garrett Wilson and the growth he would like to see from him, Aaron Rodgers has not been of the mindset that he wants to go in and completely reshape an organization and lead a bunch of guys who need to be taught how to be professionals and put his imprint on things. He wants to step in and go win playoff games. And so when you think about the Steelers and the Giants and the Vikings fit that bill the most. The Vikings, however, have decided that, you know what, JJ's our guy. At some point when you believe in a young player, you've got to rip that Band-Aid off. And he had the year of seasoning last year. He was hurt, but that meant that he had to watch from the sidelines. He had to sort of take a step back. The Vikings believe that they have a team that's not dissimilar to what the Steelers had when Ben Roethlisberger was a young quarterback. Just like I said, a great defense, a veteran-laden offense with playmakers. You don't have to ask too much of your quarterback at the outset. So that's a really good setup for a J.J. McCarthy. Now, as for Aaron Rodgers, I know that this morning people in Pittsburgh woke up with this idea, okay, if the Vikings don't want him right now, then Rodgers will sign here. I don't know. I've had a lot of conversations today with people who know how a lot of these things work, who know Aaron Rodgers. I'm starting to get a really strong feeling that Aaron Rodgers feels absolutely no rush and that he thinks his best play may be to wait for a playoff-ready team that loses its quarterback. And again, because I don't believe that he is of the mindset right now that he wants to step in and do essentially the dirty work of teaching a team how to grind. And guys, this is all of us as we get older. You just have less patience for certain things. I mean,
Cam Hayward said about Aaron Rodgers? Is that an example of that? I think it is.
Yeah, but you know, I think that Cam Hayward is speaking to a bigger piece of this. Cam Hayward is pushing his body. He is at 35 years of age, 36 years of age. Last year, he put together one of his best seasons. He is doing everything he can in the relentless pursuit of winning playoff games, of getting to that Super Bowl. He doesn't have patience at this point. When I listen to him say that, he doesn't have patience for the nonsense. He doesn't have patience for the guys that aren't jumping on the train and all in. And I don't think that that's only about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that the conversations that we had about some of Rodgers' teammates last year, and he wasn't publicly calling them out, but just the idea of, do you want to be good or do you want to be great? There's just less patience when you're looking at the end of your career to helping guys get to that point. It's like, do you want it or not? And if you want it, show up and show us that you want it.
Aditi, question about specifically his, you know, the Vikings moving on and saying, no, we're committed to J.J. McCarthy. Mike Florio posited that maybe Rodgers would wait that situation out to see how McCarthy looked during their offseason program, and if they weren't happy, maybe they'd come calling back to him. Is your understanding that the Vikings making this value judgment that they wanted to move forward with McCarthy, was the whole thing about who do we think is better, or how healthy do we think J.J. McCarthy is coming back from that ACL tear?
I don't think it's only about the health. I think it's the entire picture. Mm. Again, I'll use that same phrase. If J.J. McCarthy is your future, because Aaron Rodgers at the age of 41 is not your long-term future, you right now are saying J.J. McCarthy is your long-term future. So then the conversations that the Vikings were having were, do we really believe in J.J. McCarthy? Do we think that he needs another year of quote-unquote seasoning, of essentially sitting on the bench behind Aaron Rodgers? If we do give him another year of quote-unquote seasoning, how does that affect him mentally? And does that then leave us enough time on the tail end of that rookie contract to really determine if he's our guy moving forward or not? Because part of what you have to do with every rookie quarterback is figure out, is this your future, or is it time to essentially think about the next guy that you're bringing in? So those are all conversations that they were having. And again, like I just said it, and I'm using this phrase, I'm using it because it's actually something that two offensive coaches used with me within the last week. At some point with a young quarterback, you have to rip off the Band-Aid. His first start will be his first start, whether it's his second year or his third year.
I never ripped.
Year.
I always
it's
went
still
slowly.
A first start.
How about you, Halsey? Were you a tear it off and just deal with the pain, or did you try to...
I'd rip Band-Aids off all the time.
I would just go very slowly to try to make sure I never felt that sensation.
Easier when you were a kid to rip Band-Aids off, though, because you don't have like hair on your arms. If you have a Band-Aid on your forearm, you're ripping hair out of that.
Right.
Your arm.
See, again, look, if we're sticking with this analogy here, then maybe, Pony, your analogy is better. Because just like I said, with the Vikings, they have a great defense. They have veteran-laden professional offense with real playmakers. So you could bring J.J. McCarthy along slowly. At the outset, you don't need to ask him to put this whole team on his shoulders. So in some ways, yes, you're ripping off the Band-Aid in that your rookie has to play at some point. He's not a rookie anymore. Your second-year player, your first-year quarterback, whatever, has to play at some point. But you could do it a slow pull of the Band-Aid because you don't have to ask that much of him. You have a team right now that's in really good shape.
Aditi Kinkabwala, All Access with her, NFL on CBS.
You don't want to talk about the Steelers piece of all of this now?
No, I was just going to say your partner in crime, Sparrow Didis, will be calling Pitt, they're not in the tournament, haven't made it 6 to 7 years, Robert Morris and Alabama on Friday. We'll get the Sparrow Didis treatment. He made St. Francis and Alabama State, Donnie, sound like it was Duke and UNLV.
I mean, it was a classic game.
He called a great game. He called a tremendous game. So let him know that, and we'll talk next week.
I will.
Thank you, Aditi.
Okay, guys. Bye.
I'm on Team Didis now.
Didis convert?
I've become an Adidas guy. I've become a Didis guy.
I was going to say that fast. It sounds like you were a Nike
guy. And I feel like the problem for him for so long in the NFL was that he was getting the worst games. Man, he was in the AFC South every week. The guy basically could rent a house in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville,
right, Don?
Indy.
I mean, he was in Jacksonville.
Yeah, we're getting set for Jacksonville and Tennessee.
Duval!
I mean, the guy might as well have rented a spot there.
No, he was great on that call. That was a thrilling ending to that game. That game was so well played with, like, shot making legitimately down the stretch. And then basically the last 10 seconds were bingo, bango, bongo. Like, it was high school level bad.
Aditi lent some credence to the pomp theory with Rodgers. That he just waits until a team gets desperate, a team that's closer to winning than the Steelers, see if an injury happens, and then go there. Which, as you pointed out, that seems a lot easier said than done. This is not a picking up a guy at the NHL trade deadline or a pitcher at the baseball trade deadline. It's asking a guy to go into an offense that he may or may not even know, may not have ever played in.
People are saying, though, since Joe Flacco did it, Rodgers can do it. Okay, Flacco, yeah, he came off the couch. And
good
was
comeback.
Really, it is, but, like, we know Rodgers' tendencies. He wants it his way. You know why Joe Flacco might have been able to do that reasonably well? They could have been like, hey, Joe, here's our plays. You want to just wing it deep? Go for it,
buddy. Fake it to the running back and throw it 40 yards.
Right, exactly.
Follow up. It's growing on me, the new debrief tune.
I have a theory as to why.
Because of some reasons we can't get into. A change had to get made, and but I think it's for the better.
I think I can tell you why it's growing on you. That opening sound is just so majestic. It has a lot of gravitas. When's gravitas hour your next time on the air?
I'm going to do that at 10:30, I think, Saturday morning after I talk about the Pirates season predictions.
Hold on, but I think I've heard Donnie use gravitas. Gravitas is in his vocabulary.
I can't think of a time where I've used it.
You've never said of Bob Pompeiani he has the gravitas? He's a man with gravitas?
I mean, I know the word. I just never really use it. I also sometimes think about words that I would either screw up easily or my accent would just not go well with.
You know, gravitas. I mean, you think about somebody
Remember
with a
last,
lot of gravitas.
Last night I was sitting in those Casamigos seats.
Wait, did you say that? I'm Casamigos. Casa, okay. I got you.
I originally thought to myself when he went to the game, no offense to the Penguins, but I'd rather watch college hoops right now.
Yes.
But then when Donnie told me about his setup, I got very jealous.
Got hyped.
I was in the pony section.
Because he got the food.
He acts like he hasn't experienced this many times.
And he got the TV. The TV is critical there.
Because you're not watching the game. You're watching what's on TV.
The intermission lined up perfectly with the end of that St. Francis Alabama State game.
So you could
second intermission
settle in.
of the Penguin game.
I got.
We're down there underneath the seats in the little club area, and the game is winding down, and I see the tragic final moments. For
I remember
Saint Franny.
Being super hyped.
St. Franny.
I remember being very hyped. Speaking of like luxury suites, my buddy had a birthday party growing up, and we had a luxury suite at Three River Stadium.
Man.
Okay, this was like a summer birthday, I think.
I bet you those things were awesome.
Very 1990s, obviously. And the only thing I vividly remember, not food, hot dogs, anything, was that somebody put Beavis and Butthead on the TV. And as a kid without cable, I thought I was, you know what I mean? I'm like, holy crap, like this is a brave new world here at 10 years old.
The Donnie Football Debrief is brought to you by Boyd and Blair Vodka, a proud sponsor of the Fans' 15th anniversary party.
The Debrief, March 19th. 2025. So Chris brought up the rule proposal that the Steelers brought to light earlier, and he mentioned that to Mike Florio in a little breakdown of that. We can get into that one in a few minutes if we want. The Lions proposed a couple today, and one of them I find pretty interesting. They proposed a change. We do see this, I feel, every few years. I don't think it's the first time that it's got thrown out there. A rule that would allow wild card teams to be seeded higher than division winners based on record, citing that the Vikings lost out last season because they won 14 games and had to go on the road in the playoffs.
Classic example of it. Help the Steelers, hurt the Steelers. Hurt the Steelers when 2011 they were 12-4 and had to go to 8-8 Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the Tebow game was lost.
Still shouldn't
help
matter.
Them in 08. Because a very good Colts team that finished second to Tennessee had to go play 8-8 San Diego on the road, lost to 8-8 San Diego, and the Steelers got to play a mediocre Chargers team in the divisional round of the playoffs at Heinz Field.
Chargers always had some ballers on those teams, though, to be fair. You know who would be most pissed about this? It would be obviously, yes, the teams that are like 8-8 but win a division. It's more the why. I think you'd get pushback just because, wait a minute, we lose a home game? And, like, ticket revenue? Because presumably if you're getting seated higher, right, you're taking the home game from them.
Patrick Peterson had a very outside-the-box suggestion on our podcast about this. It reminded me of when I would smoke a lot of weed in college, and if I were completely sober, the idea would never come to me. And it's like, oh, man, here's, like, a great stoner thought on how to make something better, and in the moment it would feel like an ingenious idea.
Okay.
So you know how the Vikings and Rams game got played in Arizona?
Yes.
On a neutral site? He said in these very specific situations, it should be a neutral site game.
Who so gets the ticket revenue? Because you know teams are going to care about that part of it.
Split it?
Yeah. God, I actually kind of like it.
Me too.
I feel like if they did something I mean, maybe like that they could look into.
Fans are going to be pissed though, because hey, we got suddenly like we got to travel to this.
So here I think an example, if we localize it, the Steelers haven't truly hosted a playoff game since that Jacksonville one. They did host against Cleveland, but that was the COVID year. Nobody was there.
Yeah.
Say the Steelers are in a situation like this this year or a couple of years. The AFC North, for whatever reason, you know, maybe quarterback injuries, because we know that Jackson and Burrow and guys like that are too good to be bad.
Yep.
Let's say the Steelers win the division at 9-8, and there is a 14-3 team that is the wild card that's coming into Acrisure Stadium, and they say, well, you know what, Pittsburgh, you're not hosting this one. We're going to play this baby in Detroit.
Or Indianapolis or something like that.
So then we as
what if it was somehow fans, Buffalo as a 14-3 wild card and they said the dream finally happened.
Cleveland.
We're going to play this thing at Beaver Stadium.
But I'm going to – they'd say the pipes below or something like that could not –
they're renovating it right now.
No, you're right. That's what they would say. Oh, in December it wouldn't work. Well, riddle me this, Donnie.
Butter me this.
In those specific situations, take your black and gold pride out of it. Who should have the home game? The 14-3 team or the 9-8 team?
I'm in favor of the division winner.
Really?
There. Yeah. I mean, if you're not going to have that, if you're not going to have some sort of reward for winning your division,
you do have a reward. You're in the playoffs.
I think like the whole idea of prioritizing the division is you do get a home game. Even if your division stinks. Otherwise, Donnie, I think what Donnie's logical extension is, if you're not going to give the division winner the home game,
away.
Then just don't have divisions.
But here's my rebuttal to that. But I think it has consequences in the playoffs when you do it that way, because of the way teams get seeded. So, for example, like let's say that happens, and the Steelers are a 3 seed, and the team with the good record is a 6 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now if the 6 seed wins because it's better than that team that went 9-8. Well, now the team that finished with the first seed now has to play that team when they shouldn't, because there's probably going to be 2 teams with a worse record that played a first-round game, a wild-card game against each other and advanced. You know, like, they're only getting seeded there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Vikings got seeded 5th, even though they were not the 5th best team in the NFC last year.
Okay.
And if they had won, they would have had to go right back to Detroit to play them, right?
Correct.
And that's not fair for a team that won 15 games have to play a 14 seed in their first playoff game.
I think they actually would have gone to Philly.
Well, that's because the Washington won as a 6 seed. Okay. But I hope you follow what I'm saying. Like, let me put forth this compromise. Seed the teams by record. But if you don't win your division, you still have to go on the road in the first round.
Okay, so if you're the Vikings and you're 14-3, you're the 2 seed, right?
The Eagles went 14-3 too, so they would have been 3.
Okay, you're the 3 seed.
Yep,
you didn't win your division, but you are the 3 seed, and now you have to play a 9-8 6 seed.
So I'm saying you're still going to go on the road against the 4 seed, who would have been the Rams. But for the purpose of the next round, you get seeded in the next round like the 3 seed and not the 5 seed.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit complicated. Well,
the way you laid it out there, now I get it. Instead of the 5 seed, they're the 3 seed.
It's complicated now. Why would a team that went 14-3 be seeded 5th? That makes no sense.
I also think it's just the recency bias of it just happening. And how often have we seen something like that in league history?
Well, hold on, though.
You got like the Beastquake run for a 7-9 team.
I'm a big believer that baseball would have changed the way it did its playoffs. If what happened to the Pirates in 15
happened to the Yankees
or Dodgers or somebody
100%.
Like that.
100%.
Where it's like, wait a minute, a team with 98 wins?
The NFL doesn't have that problem because they have like true, I would say, parity as far as people caring about every team.
Like, wasn't there a situation like that where the Dodgers, didn't the Dodgers and Giants have to play a one-game playoff where like both teams won 100 games or something like that?
Like you're saying very recently? Yeah, I think they did. I think they did.
Or no, here's what happened. The Giants won the division with like 104 wins.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers came in second with 100. And they had to play a one-game playoff as a 100-win team, and they won it. But if they had lost that game, I think baseball would have said, "Nah, we ain't never doing this again." And I guess they kind of did. They changed their playoff format a couple years later.
What about, speaking of playoff formats, I guess Gary Bettman said he has no problem with the NHL's current one, which everyone seems to hate, where they do the divisional ones, obviously, and then they break it out after you get through there. Just want the true 1-8-2-7.
So I have a theory on that too. I think people say they like things and they get bored by them and change their mind. I think originally people loved this playoff format because, like, oh man, you got to go through your division. You play division rivals. But then it got redundant because, oh man, the Bruins are playing the Maple Leafs in the first round of the playoffs every year. This isn't fun anymore. So I think they should freshen it up and go back to 1-8-2-7-3-6-4-5. Do that for 4 or 5 years. People will get bored with it again and then flip it back to divisions. They used to do it in the early 80s for a while where it was no conference.
Yeah, Donnie,
it was 1-16.
Yeah.
2-15.
In the 70s, even, there were times when the Stanley Cup final would be just like the Flyers and the Canadians or something like that.
When it was just, we don't care.
It was
it's just
open seating like that.
Do that for a few years.
God, can you imagine if it's just like Bruins, for the league's purposes, Bruins Leafs or something for the Stanley Cup?
Why not, though?
Hey, man, all options for that sport should be on the table. There should not be anything that just gets tabled automatically.
I didn't know that Donnie was as strict. If you win your division, even if you're 7-9 like Carolina,
take though, Pony. I thought you'd be a
home playoff
guy. I thought you'd be Mr. Hey, winning your division should matter.
Put him in the playoffs is what I'm saying about it.
I just don't think there are enough examples. Like, we see it every now and then where you point and you're like, man, that team's really getting screwed. They went 13-4. They went 14-3.
There's not a ton of them.
And now they got to play a team that's barely
500. There's not a ton of like super egregious ones.
But I also don't think there's going to be like an outcry if they say, yeah, if you win your division, you're automatically in the playoffs, and we're just going to seed by record once we're there. You know, are people
take people a little bit to get used to, but I don't think it would matter. I love hearing this with this going in the background. It makes me feel like we're having one of those very formal point-counterpoint arguments on, like, C-SPAN.
Well, Judge Donnie's coming up next hour. Well, you'll hear more of that.
That's a whole different ball of wax.